I stated at the beginning, it is certainly good to see everyone gathered here. And our purpose to serve God, to honor and praise Him, is one which is instructed by God, but should be a desire of all those who belong to Him. The reading this morning ties two parts of the book of Galatians together that sometimes when we're reading through, we separate because of the chapter break there. But I wanted to bring all of those verses together because I'm convinced that when Paul talks about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, we should be able to connect that with the reaping that we have when we sow. And our lesson this morning is going to look at that idea of sowing. Paul says there in that sixth chapter, whatever one sows, or if your memory remembers the old King James, whatsoever one sows, or a man may sow, may be the phrase that's in your head when you think of that. We want to look at that this morning in a general way, kind of as an overview, because I'd intended to do two lessons on what we sow, one about the good things we sow and one about the bad things that we might sow. And as I began to study and prepare and look at this, I thought, yeah, and I'm not going to get through with either one if I just do that in two lessons. And that's going to leave a lot of other things out that we need to consider. So, well, I'll just start this way. If we were one of those big, large congregations and had one of those preachers that did a theme for every year, then this would be our theme for this year. Whatever one sows. I'm convinced that idea covers, or at least can be applied to almost every principle and teaching that we as a congregation needs. If you recall back toward the end of last year, I believe sometime in November, I made mention that we were going to be doing some lessons and some instructions that points us more toward the idea of reaching out, not just edifying and strengthening ourselves, building up the congregation here, but reaching out to those who are outside the body of Christ. Because as I said then, if there is one area where this congregation could use some encouragement, it is in reaching out. Now, I don't say that just because this every congregation I know needs encouragement in that matter. But that's why I want to do this whatever one sows, because it covers our influence not just with our brethren, not just in our families, but the people that we come in contact with. Because what we're talking about here is, what are we showing other people? What are other people seeing in how we conduct our lives? What is God seeing when He looks at us? And so we're going to be looking at those things in a number of different lessons about various things throughout the year, if the Lord's willing that we continue. And one of the reasons for that is, while, you know, most of us don't go out into the field and plow the ground and grow the crops like some of you did in order to have food to eat when you were young, I've heard your stories. We all understand the idea of sowing and reaping. We recognize that. We have flower beds. We have little garden spots. We have flower pots. We have all sorts of things that remind us of this idea of sowing and reaping. We understand that process. And it's a process that's used time and time again in the pages of Scripture. So I'm convinced it is a good analogy to use in talking about the responsibilities that we as Christians have, both to God and our church family and to those who are outside the body of Christ. And so we want to consider those things. We recognize that seed grows after its own kind. Bad seed is going to bring bad fruit. That's what Paul's talking about there in Galatians chapter 5 when he talks about the works of the flesh. Good seed's going to bring about good fruit. There's the works of the Spirit that he mentions later on in that chapter. And I think one of the questions that we need to be constantly asking ourselves is, what kind of seed am I sowing? What am I planting? And why am I planting that particular thing? Because we are always sowing. We're always planting something, either in our own mind, in the mind of our family, or in the mind of the people that we come in contact with each and every day. They see something from us that plants a seed in their mind of the kind of individual that we are, of the things that matter most to us. And so we need to recognize and understand that we are always sowing something. Even when we're sitting quietly meditating, whether with our eyes closed or open in our recliners in our homes, we're sowing something. We're sowing something in our own minds, in our own psyches. People are all worried about psyches, so we recognize we have one, and we're constantly feeding that. Another question we might ask is, are we sowing as much as we ought in the right areas? Because we need to have determination in what we're sowing. Once we recognize and understand that we're always sowing, then we need to stop and think about, what am I sowing? And how can I make adjustments and changes to make sure that I'm sowing what needs to be sown? You know, in the physical realm, when we look at what we're going to sow, what we're going to put in our garden, if we're going to have a garden, whether it's a flower garden or a vegetable garden, what we look at, well, what do I want? Well, I want some purple hull peas. In fact, I want a lot of purple hull peas. Wouldn't mind having a few tomatoes. Maybe some peppers. Some onions. Some of that yellow crookneck squash is pretty good when you fry it up too. So that's what I want. So what do? I go out and buy corn seed and Mexican jalapenos and butter beans. No. I go and I buy a two pound bag of purple hull pea seed. And I buy two or three squash plants, a couple of tomato plants. No, I buy 10 tomato plants because I bought a couple last year and they didn't bear hardly at all. And it's been my experience, if I go ahead and buy 10 this year, I'll have more tomatoes than I know what to do with, and I'll go back next year and buy two again because I had too many tomatoes. I'll buy a couple of pepper plants. To be specific, I'll get some banana pepper plants, I'll get some hot pepper plants, and I'll get some bell pepper plants because I want to satisfy my wife as well as myself. You see, in the physical realm, we determine what we're going to sow by what we want to reap. Well, wouldn't that fall very well into our thought process for the spiritual realm? If I want to reap love, what do I need to sow? Love. You know, we all learn real easy, if you want to be a friend, you've got to be friendly. Some of us had to be taught that more often than once before it settled in our brain. But if you want friends, you've got to be friendly. If you want to have hope, or you want others to have hope, then you need to show hope. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in the, we can't do this, and so we determine what we're going to sow based on how it's sown, rather than determining what we're going to sow based on what it is that we're looking for. If we're looking for folks to be converted to the Word of God, you know what we've got to sow? We've got to sow Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've got to sow the way of salvation as God delivered it to us in the message of the apostles. You see, we need to be determined in what we sow, or else we're just going to get anything and everything. If you just go down to the co-op and say, hey, I need some seed. They ask you, what kind of seed? I don't care. I just need some seed. And they just start throwing stuff in a bag, and you take it home, and you plow, and you fertilize, and you plant. You may end up with baseball peas, and nobody wants, but, oh wait, some people do like those little green peas. Sweet peas, I think some people call them. You may end up with kale instead of spinach. You see? We have to be determined. We know we're going to sow. So let's make sure we're determined in what it is that we are sowing. Because God has left us as free agents. It was God's decision when He created man that man would be able to choose. And so we have to choose. And even failing to make a choice, we are making a choice. We're choosing not to be determined in our choices. We're always sowing. We need to determine what it is that we're going to sow, what it is that we're looking for. What are we hoping to get? Then we can go look at sowing and how we go about sowing that. Because it is the sowing that brings fruit. You know, we probably still have some pea seed in a little paper sack somewhere at the house. We may have actually planted all of them, but we probably still have some. But those peas have not gotten me any produce whatsoever yet out of that paper sack. Even potatoes won't bring you more potatoes if you just leave them laying in the dark somewhere. They just give you a bunch of white roots hanging off and gradually shrivel up and become nothing if they don't turn black and start stinking. You have to actually sow in order to get fruit. Sowing brings forth fruit. But we need to be careful of what fruit we're going to bring forth. And Hosea, the Israelites, are rebuked by God. Hosea 8 and verse 7, "For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour." And again, in chapter 10 and verse 13 of the book of Hosea, "You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors." I'll tell you, it doesn't take much reading in the prophets to find out that Israel sowed wickedness. Israel showed things that were of no value. How many times in the prophets or in the books of the kings that we read about the prophets warning the kings of Israel and of Judah that they need to depend upon the Lord and not depend upon Syria or Israel or the Philistine or whoever it may be that they're wanting to turn to. The chariots of Egypt won't do you any good. You need to trust in God. We've seen Elisha's trust in God recently in our Sunday night Bible class and how he demonstrated it to his servant as well, asking God to open his eyes so he could see. Israel, and by Israel I mean Israel as a united kingdom and Israel as a divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, brought destruction upon itself because of what they sowed, because what we sow will bring forth fruit. And I think any student of the Bible recognizes that Israel started sowing bad seed almost as soon as they walked out of the land of Egypt. Almost the day they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, they started sowing bad seed. And it brought them destruction. They sowed the wind, they reap the whirlwind. I can sow one little pea seed, and if it comes up and makes a plant, I can pretty much be guaranteed I'm going to have more than one pea. Probably going to have about 10 or 15 pea pods on that one plant over the life of the plant, with anywhere from 5 to 8 or so peas in it. That's what he means by you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. The difference between a soft breeze and a tornado can be the fruit. What we sow, we will reap because it brings forth fruit. That's what Galatians 6, 7 through 9 tells us. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And if we're sowing to the flesh, if we're sowing to hopelessness, if we're sowing to despair, if we're sowing to sorrow, we're sowing to destruction. That's what we're going to reap. Rather, we should sow hope and salvation and joy. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter lists a series of qualities that the Christian ought to have and develop. Don't worry, we'll get to those in another lesson sometime. But in verse 8, he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, if you're sowing these things and they're bringing forth fruit, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that. Gold, knowledge, virtue, patience, godliness, self-control, to increase in our faith, our love or charity, depending on which version you're reading from as to some of those terms. Peter tells us that if we are sowing these things and we're putting in the work in these things, they will bring increase and it will keep us faithful to the Lord. He goes on to say if we don't, then we're blind and cannot see afar off. We've forgotten who we are and what we're about. And we will suffer the consequences. We will reap injustice and iniquity and lies because we are not sowing righteousness. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He said, that's the point of what I'm saying here. And I know he's talking about taking care of those who are in need, giving to assist those of the brothers and sisters in Christ who were desperate in need. But the principle applies in all things. If I want to reap much joy, then I need to sow much joy. If all I ever sow is sorrow, then I'm not going to get much joy back out of it. We need to recognize that it is only by sowing that we get fruit, and we get the fruit that comes of what we have sown. We also need to understand that the rule of nature is that if we give our time to nurture and prepare, we can get a greater increase. If I just go out there, well, maybe peas aren't a good example. They sometimes grow in the worst of ground. If I just go out there and stick me a potato plant in the middle of my yard, don't do anything about the grass or anything else that's there, I just set a tomato plant in the middle of my yard and put me a tomato cage around it, it may never grow out to get up as tall as that tomato cage. He may never put forth a tomato at all. But if I dig me a hole down there and I put me some fish heads in it, maybe I'll put me a few eggshells in there. They say those things are good for tomatoes too. And I make that soil nice and loose and fertile, and then I put my tomato plant in there. And I clear the grass away from it for a good ways, and I make sure it stays that way. And I watch and care for it. I put some water on that thing on a regular basis. Maybe I take me one of them gallon milk jugs, poke a few holes in the bottom of it and set it there beside it and fill it up. Let it empty out into the soil every couple of days. And I sprinkle me a little seven dust on there because that's what you're supposed to put on tomatoes to keep the bugs out of it. At least that's what I learned growing up. Maybe I put a little fertilizer around there every now and then. I'm probably going to get some pretty good tomatoes off of that plant. I may get a lot of tomatoes off that plant. Why? Because I nurtured it. I cared for it. I put time and effort in it. One of the reasons my gardens have never done very well. I do real good getting them in place, but keeping the grass and weeds out and keeping them fertilized and watered, I'm not so good at that. But if we'll put the work in, we can get a bountiful harvest. We can increase that harvest beyond what it would have been in and of itself. Matthew chapter 13 speaks of that, and we're not going to go and read all of those parables that are there. We're familiar with the parable of the sower and the soils that he comes in contact with. Familiar that at least one of those soils is described in verse 19. When one hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. I can throw all the pea seed I want out on that road beside my house, and I ain't going to get a pea one off of it. Birds may have some fun with it, but I won't get nothing because you can't grow peas in asphalt. No way for them to get roots. If we're not constantly watching and caring and putting our effort into sowing and nurturing those things that we want to grow, we can find ourselves, like we read in verse 25. While his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. I lost a real good garden one time down in Mississippi. I mean, I had a nice garden bigger than this auditorium here. Worked it with a David Bradley two-wheel walking tractor, deep soil, fertilized, kept it watered, in a good spot, rode up good. And we went to ROIC camp for a week and then visited with Mom for a week. Got back, I had grass taller than my peas. Never did get all that grass out of that garden. Quit caring for it. And the problem is, when we quit caring for something for a while and things start to build up and pile up, then it's that much harder to get back into it and get it cleared out. We've got to undo what's gotten ahead of us. So it's something that we need to constantly be vigilant, watching, caring for. We need to give attention. Later on in verse 29 we read, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the weed along with them." We've got to be careful in caring for the things that we have sown. We need to stay on guard against Satan, not let him creep in and spoil our field. One area where this may stand out that there is a need for us to be careful in especially is with new converts. Sometimes we work very hard to get somebody to obey the gospel. We teach them the gospel. We teach them the truth. They're convinced in their heart and they make the change and they're buried in baptism to have their sins washed away. They rise up out of that new grave, a new creature, and we say, "Hey, great, that's fine." Just because you get the peas up above the weeds doesn't mean you're done. Cultivate. And care. New converts need somebody to be working with. Someone to be teaching them. Somebody to be encouraging. Giving them strength and advice and understanding so they can grow. We don't take our newborn babies and lay them in the crib and put the milk sitting off there into the side and expect them to pour their own bottles. In fact, for some weeks, we don't even expect them to hold their own bottle after we've prepared it for them. We hold it for them. Make sure they get what they need. We're careful about what we put in there. Same should be true of those who are new converts in Christ. They're babes in Christ. They need structure. They need help. They need guidance. They need the constant watch and care of those who have gone before. We need to nurture if we want to see increase. We need to nurture ourselves. We need to nurture our brethren. We need to nurture our family. We need to nurture our hopes. We need to nurture our faith. And we need to not only sow, but also nurture that word in those that we would like to know God. Nurture with protection. The word can grow and increase. We need to try to keep the word from the onslaught of error, because Satan is there waiting to pour out his error on top of every seed we plant, if it's not already a ground that's filled with error. We need to nurture for increase. We're always sowing. And we need to sow to the Spirit bountifully. And let me emphasize this. I need to sow to the Spirit bountifully. And each and every one of you need to sow to the Spirit bountifully. While I might be able to share some of the produce from my garden, I'm not going to be able to support the whole congregation with a garden, even if it used up my whole backyard. You're going to have to grow your own. You can't let somebody else sow and nurture for us. We need to be looking and considering. We need to be determining, what kind of fruit do I want? If you want apples, make sure you plant an apple tree. You will not get apples from a pine tree. It won't even grow pineapples. We need to sow the seed that will produce the fruit that we're looking for. And I'll tell you, one fruit that we need to have in our lives and in the lives of those we know today is the fruit of hope. I think there are millions of people in this world who have lost hope. And many of them are among our brethren. Their hope is failing. And we need to give them that hope. And so we need to sow the seeds of hope. And the seeds of hope include faith in the Word of God and faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because that's where our hope comes from. What is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when we sow, we need to sow with faith and hope. I've got James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 here on the screen. Well, the reference anyway. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James didn't stop with that. He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And you say, preacher, that verse does not have hope in it anywhere. Yes, it does. Well, actually, it has a lack of hope. The man who does not ask in faith, the man who asks with doubts, should not believe that he will get what he hoped for. He must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. In order to get what we hope for, we have to ask with faith. We have to plant with faith. And we have to plant in hope of a harvest. That means we have to have some desire, willingness. And we need to understand that no matter what we do, it is God who gives the increase. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth or increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. God gives the increase. Maybe another part of what we need to understand in regards to this is that means we need to put our trust in God. We need to pray to God. We need to ask Him to bring a bountiful harvest. No matter how diligent we are in nurturing and caring for. You know, there are a lot of things that we could talk about in regards to sowing, and certainly we need to recognize the need to sow the Word of God. That's the foundation of everything that we're going to sow. But you know, we're going to have to actually do some things if we're going to sow the Word of God. The Word of God did not sound forth from Jerusalem because the apostles and the 5,000 and the 3,000 and the others all gathered together at the temple on the seventh day of the week because that's when all the people were there and gathered elsewhere other times of the week, gathered together on the Lord's day. The word did not sound out from Jerusalem because they gathered in one place in Jerusalem. The word sounded out from Jerusalem because as they were persecuted, they left Jerusalem preaching and teaching the word everywhere they went. If you want the word to flourish in your community, you're going to have to send the word out. Well, there's all kinds of ways. Home Bible studies. Tracts being mailed out to our friends and family. You know there's a track rack back here in the hallway, right? If you empty it out, I'll pretty much guarantee you there'll be some more back there. Phone calls, text messages, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. There's all kinds of ways to get the word out. He's sowing the seed of the kingdom. Sometimes we look and say, well, I can't teach everybody. That's right. That's exactly right. You can't teach everybody. But you can teach somebody. Let's forget about trying to do the impossible. Let's do that which is possible. When you start talking to folks about clearing up the clutter, and I mention that because most of us at some time or another have at least read some article about that because we've all got a lot of stuff in our house. When you start talking about clearing out the clutter, they don't say, grab everything that's in the house and carry it all out to the trash. They don't say, try to go through everything today. They say, find you one spot, one drawer, one closet, one shelf, and you work on that. When you're done with that, you go to the next one. When you start talking about getting out of debt, they don't say, try to get save up enough money till you can get all of it done at once. Well, you pay a little extra on this one until you get it gone and out of the way, and then you pay a little more on this one. Well, there's a lot of plans, but they all boil down to that. Work on what you can work on. Do what you can. I'm not good at teaching. I'm not good at talking to people. Are you good at encouraging? Have you ever been known to just sit down and talk with somebody? Do you understand how important that could be to somebody who is stuck at home? Even if you do it via phone call. There's a lot of people that need visits. Sometimes just a social visit helps a lot, but remember, as Christians, we can talk about the Word of God even in a social visit. You know, it's amazing, but I saw something just the other day about some newscaster who prayed on public TV. I know. Amazing, right? And I don't know who he is. I don't know nothing about him. I don't know whether his prayer got any further than the microphone. But certainly that should illustrate to us that we can go and visit folks who are having difficulties or struggles and we can pray with them. Even if we don't say anything more than God be with them and help them with their troubles. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Maybe it's just sitting with someone at the hospital while they're waiting for somebody to get out of the surgery or out of recovery. Maybe it's sending a letter to somebody and saying, hey, I was thinking about you. I want you to know you're on my mind. You're in my prayers. What can we do to make our presence as Christians known in our community? Whether that community is Malvern, Gifford, Arkadelphia, Joan, Magnet Cove, Butterfield, Haskell, Social Hill, wrong side of the interstate, wherever it is. What can I do to make the presence of Christ be known where I live? Maybe we got a book that we read that really helped us in something. We know somebody else is going through something similar. Did you think about sending the book to them? Say, hey, this helped me. And if you want to talk about it, we'll get together. Maybe there's some things that you know that could be done as a congregation or as individuals that aren't being done. And maybe your contribution, your sowing of the seed is saying, hey, have we tried this? Being willing to listen and to talk and discuss and consider. You see, overall, above and beyond anything else that we are doing, the question that we need to ask ourselves each and every day, am I sowing the seed of the kingdom? Am I sowing the Word of God? Because I will reap what I sow. Folks, we've got lessons coming about what's going to happen if we sow anger. What's going to happen if we sow joy. My plan is we're going to be looking at this idea. It may take me 10 years to get through it if I last that long. But we'll just do whichever lesson comes up as they come up. As I said, I'm convinced this idea, this whatever one sows, is something that we need to consider in regards to all things that God gives us to do. And especially in regards to our attitudes toward God and toward one another. Are we sowing to the flesh or are we sowing to the Spirit? Because that's where we'll reap. Look this morning in your own heart. Are you continuing to serve God? Do you have Jesus living in your heart as a part of your life, as a guiding factor in everything that you do? If you do, then we want to encourage you in that. If you're a child of God and you've got Jesus in your heart, it is Christ living in you, then we want to be your cheering section. We want to be with you, and we want to help you, and we want to encourage you, and we want you to encourage us. But if you look and you find, I don't belong to Jesus. I thought I did, but I don't. When I look at what the Word of God says, what I did that I thought made me a part of the body of Christ is not what the Word says, and so I need to take those steps to become a part of the body of Christ. I've heard the Word. I understand what God expects of me. I know what He wants, and so I'm going to give my life to Him. I'm going to turn away from all the things in my past, and I'm going to give myself wholly to Him. I'm going to confess my belief in Jesus as the Son of God, because that's the foundation of it all. And I'm going to be buried in the waters of baptism so that I might have my sins washed away. And I can rise up a creature that belongs to God's family. I want to encourage you to do that. If you realize you're outside the family of God and you don't understand what you need to do, I want to encourage you to talk to somebody about it. I'm available. I know several others who would be more than happy to talk to you about it. If you're a child of God, you obeyed the gospel, and you look this morning and you say, you know what? I hadn't been busy sowing the seed. What I've been sowing is things of the world and things of myself, and I need to come back and start sowing the Word of God. I need to start sowing hope and faith and love and joy as they are described in God's Word. We want to encourage you in that. We want you to pray to God and ask Him to forgive. And if your inaction has brought about shame and reproach upon the Lord's church, we encourage you to correct that publicly so that all can know that you've turned from those things and you're striving once again to work diligently for the Lord. Opportunity is yours. Whatever your situation, if we can assist you in sowing the seed of the kingdom as God would have us to, we encourage you to come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing.